I made my first public appearance on the stairs up to the school nurse's room at St. Peter's Preparatory School, Weston-super-Mare, Somerset, England, on the 13th of September 1948. I was 8 5/6. My audience was a pack of 9-year-olds who were jeering at me and baying, "Cheese! Cheese!" I kept climbing up the steps despite the feeling of humiliation and fear. But above all, I was bewildered. How had I managed to attract so much attention? What had I done to provoke this aggression? And how on earth did they know that my family surname had once been Cheese? As Matron Fishy Finlater gave me the customary new boy physical examination, I tried to gather my thoughts. My parents had always warned me to keep away from nasty, rough boys. What, then, were they doing at a nice school like St. Peter's? And how was I supposed to avoid them? Much of my predicament was that I was not just a little boy, but a very tall little boy. I was 5'3" and would pass the 6-foot mark before I was 12, so it was hard to fade into the background, as I often wished to, particularly later when I'd become taller than any of the masters. It didn't help that one of them, Mr. Bartlett, always referred to me as a prominent citizen. In addition, as a result of my excessive height, I had outgrown my strength, and my physical weakness meant that I was uncoordinated and awkward. So much so that a few years later, my PE teacher, Captain Lancaster, described me as 6 foot of chewed string. Add to that the fact that I had no previous experience of the feral nature of gangs of young boys, and you will understand why my face bore the expression of an authentic coward as Fishy Finlater opened the door and coaxed me out towards my second public appearance. "Don't worry, it's only teasing," she said. What consolation was that? You could have said the same at Nuremberg. But at least the chanting had stopped, and now there was an expectant silence as I forced myself down the stairs. Then, "Are you a roundhead or a cavalier?" "What?" Faces were thrust at me, each one of them demanding, "Roundhead or cavalier? What were they talking about?" Had I understood the question, I would almost certainly have fainted. Such a delicate little flower was I. And perhaps I should explain to the more delicately nurtured of you that I was not being asked to offer my considered views on the relative merits of the opposing forces in the English Civil War, but to reveal whether or not I had been circumcised. However, my first day at prep school was not a total failure. By the time I got home, I had learned the meaning of 2 new words, pathetic and wet, although I had to find Dad's dictionary to look up sissy. Why was I so ineffectual? Well, let's begin at my beginning. I was born on the 27th of October 1939 in Uphill, a little village south of Weston-super-Mare and separated from it by the mere width of a road which led inland from the Western Sea Front. My first memory, though, is not of Uphill, but of a tree in the village of Brent Knoll, a few miles away, under whose shade I recall lying while I look through its branches to the bright blue sky above. The sunlight is catching the leaves at different angles so that my eye flickers from one patch of colour to the next, the verdant foliage displaying a host of verdant hues. I thought I'd try and get the words verdant, hues and foliage into this paragraph, as my English teachers always believed they were signs of creative talent, though perhaps I shouldn't have used verdant twice. Of course, I'm not sure it was my first memory. I'm sure I used to think it was, and I like to think it was, because it would make sense, baby me lying in a pram, contentedly watching the interplay of the glinting verdant foliage and its beautiful hues. One thing I do know for certain, though, is that shortly before this incident with the tree, the Germans bombed Weston-super-Mare. I'll just repeat that. On the 14th of August 1940, German planes bombed Weston-super-Mare. This is verifiable. It was in all the papers, especially the Western Mercury. Most Westonians were confident that the raid had been a mistake. The Germans were a people famous for their efficiency, so why would they drop perfectly good bombs on a place like Weston-super-Mare, when there was nothing in Weston that a bomb could destroy that could possibly be as valuable as the bomb that destroyed it. It would mean that every explosion made a tiny dent in the German economy.